Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Welcome to episode number 200. And before we get started, I just wanted to take out a second to thank you for your support of the podcast. I definitely would not be here if it wasn't for you and if it wasn't for the support and to see that you're getting value out of this show and that this show is helping you. So thank you for your support. I love that you keep coming back every week, and I will definitely keep things going. On episode number 100, I brought on my wife to talk about our portfolio and to talk about how we're building things out. And I thought it would be interesting today to do an update to talk about two of the properties that we've sold and a couple of the properties that we've picked up along the way. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come right back and I will bring in Suzanne.
The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Are you looking for actionable steps to create wealth and passive income? As a top-ranked business and investing podcast with over 800 five-star reviews, the Passive Real Estate Investing Show is packed with strategies and insight for putting money in your pocket. Marco Santarelli from Narada Real Estate Investments brings his expertise and knowledge on both passive and turnkey real estate investing, and he provides listeners with helpful tools and tips to create the wealth you've always wanted. Head over to iTunes or Google Play today and subscribe to Passive Real Estate Investing Podcast, or visit PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com. That's PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com.
Hey, Suzanne, welcome to episode number 200.
Wow, can't believe we're at 200.
I know, it's pretty cool.
Thanks for having me back.
Sure, sure. So for anyone that is maybe new to the podcast or they're not familiar with our story, why don't you kind of take everybody back and tell them how we first got interested and first got started buying rentals?
Well, you had been interested in rentals since ever I first met
you. Yeah, for a long time.
And at the time, it was about 4 years ago, I had an interest in moving into a new house. But the market had gone down a bit in the area that we live in. And so we had to figure out if we were going to be able to make that work with the existing house. And when we crunched the numbers, we were able to figure out that we'd be able to cover the mortgage with rental payments and then some.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So we had a nice little profit every month. And once I got that first check and paid the mortgage and saw what was left over, I was hooked and I was ready to do it again. So we ended up renting out that house for a year and a half. And then we decided to sell it. Why don't you tell everybody why we decided to sell and kind of what our thinking was?
Well, I think there are a couple different reasons. For me, the most significant one is that that was the only property that we've self-managed. And, you know, we didn't move too far away, so it seemed like a good idea for us to manage it ourselves. It was a, you know, relatively young house, and we were still in the area, so it seemed like something that we could easily do. And, you know, we had good tenants, but you know, like with every house, there's maintenance things that come up, and they were really good about letting us know that the garbage disposal was broken or, you know, there were other issues that needed to be attended to. But the problem was that we just didn't want to be bothered with it. Mm-hmm. You know, things would come up and we'd have plans for that weekend, or, you know, we'd be busy with something else. We'd have family in town, and we just didn't want to be bothered.
Right. Yeah, I think what we learned on that house is that we wanted our rentals to be truly passive. And even though it's not a lot of work, like we didn't want to do it.
No.
So we decided from that point on we were going to get property managers. Now, that house was working out. I mean, it was a great rental. But so why did we sell it?
Well, I think after doing several months of episodes, that you realized that even though we were making money in comparison to what we had to pay for the mortgage, we weren't maximizing the return we could get for the money we had invested in that house.
Exactly. So, yeah, so we decided to sell that house. And so we had the tenants in there for a year. And then when their lease was up, I thought, okay, well, we could sell the house or we could rent it. I really didn't know. I really was fine with either scenario. And they came back to me when the lease was up, and when I asked them if they wanted to renew, and they asked if they could do a 6-month lease. And I thought, you know what, that's perfect. It gives me 6 months more to think about it. And when their lease ends, it's going to be in a better time of year, because it was like in the winter time when their lease was going to end. So,
right.
So it really worked out great. They were great tenants. Never had any real big problems with that house, but we were happy to sell it. And then we had some capital to put into some other deals. So we sold that house, and we sold one other rental here just a few months ago. Let's talk about this one for a little bit, and then we'll get into the properties we bought. So tell me about this house. Why did we sell it?
So this house was a very different house. It was very old. It was, what, 100?
About 100 years
about
old.
100 years yep. old. And it was not, it was in a different class of neighborhood. And so the tenant, even though we had a property manager, the tenant was a little bit more high maintenance than the tenants that, you know, we had been dealing with before. And that really ended up cutting into our profit on that house, because we'd have calls from the tenant for pest control or sort of random electrical issues.
A lot of like just weird stuff that would come up. And I think with an older house, you're gonna have that. I mean, there was just a lot more maintenance. So it was one of those deals where it looked awesome on paper, but when you actually look at how the numbers worked out, it wasn't as profitable as we had hoped.
Right.
So so just for comparison, the first house that we lived in, that was like an A-class neighborhood, and this house was more of a C-class neighborhood, I guess you would call it. So it wasn't a bad neighborhood, and you know, I think it was a good experience. We had that property for about 2 years. And overall, it was profitable. We made a good return on it, but I think
we were lucky because we had a tenant who actually stayed for quite a long time.
Yep.
And if I remember right, that's really her giving notice. That's really what prompted us to reconsider what we were going to do with that house.
Yeah, because I was fine with it because, you know, although, you know, we did have expenses, we never had a month where it wasn't profitable. But when the tenant gave notice that they weren't going to sign another lease, I thought, well, we could sell the house or we could rent it, and I'm really fine with either. So what we decided to do was do both. We put it up for sale and we put it for rent at the same time.
And, you know, part of our thinking in that too, correct me if I'm wrong, but since we bought that house, we bought a few others that even though they may have been of advanced age, they weren't quite as old, but they also had been, the systems had been pretty extensively rehabbed in these other properties. So this was really the only property we had that was causing us to have all these kinds of maintenance
Absolutely.
Expenses.
Yeah. I mean, it was like this house was like 90% of our attention, or I wouldn't even call it aggravation because it wasn't a pain, but it was just like every month there was something with this property. And
you could see larger expenses coming down the road.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just really very eye-opening in terms of maintenance expenses for that property versus the other ones
right,
that we've bought.
Right. Yeah. Because the other properties are really pretty easy. I mean, there really isn't anything to do or really anything to really talk about. The tenants just kind of pay rent, and there really is very little in the way of maintenance that comes up. And I think it's just, the other properties we have are like B-class properties. So they're like in working class neighborhoods where we have good tenants, they're good quality properties. So they're, I mean, our property managers have a pretty easy time managing those properties.
Right.
So it was great. So we put this property up for sale and up for rent at the same time. And as luck would have it, we actually found a tenant and a buyer basically within a day of each other.
Right.
So it was really pretty cool because another investor had made an offer on the property and he loved that we had a tenant lined up and he was a cash buyer. No inspection, closed quickly. I mean, it was really pretty painless. We sold it for a little bit more than we paid for it, but after closing costs, we really just kind of broke even on the sale. I don't think there was anything really anything other that's noteworthy with that property.
I don't think so. The one thing I will say, and this is not so much specific to that property, but that was the property where we learned that if you're in your lease, if you have late fees, we learned that the late fees go to the property manager.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, that's something that I'd never thought of before. But that tenant always paid late. She always paid, but she always paid late. And when the property manager would charge a late fee, but we didn't get any piece of that. So
for me, I thought, well, why aren't we getting the late fee? Right. We're the ones that are out the use of that cash.
And the property managers say that, well, they have more work to do because they've got to work with collecting the rent. And that's true. The property manager does have more work to do. But I think that for anyone that's negotiating a property management agreement, try to get a little piece of that.
Yeah, that's on our list for the next time around.
Yeah, absolutely. Lesson learned on that one. So we bought a couple of houses since then, and let's talk about some of our purchases. So we bought a house that needed a little bit of work. Actually, maybe before we get into it, let's talk about how we find properties. So like we have a realtor that she knows what we're looking for. She understands exactly what we want. We bought several houses from her. Talk about what happens when a property comes on the market that meets our criteria.
Well, she's actually been really good and I think, shows the value of finding an agent that knows how to work with investors. Because, as an investor versus, being versus buying a house that you're trying to live in, like, we don't care that much what it looks like inside. We want it to be worth its value. We want it to be easily rentable, but the aesthetics on the inside don't really matter that much to us. So she is totally willing to keep her eye on the listings, although you also have some auto searches set up.
Mm-hmm.
But then she'll go out to the property and she'll FaceTime you so you can get an idea of what it looks like on the inside. And she'll give you, her opinion in terms of work that might need to be done to maximize the rent.
Yeah, she does a pretty good job. And like I never get the impression that she's trying to get a sale. She's actually trying to help me and help us find a good property. And, there was one house that she showed me, and I actually gained a lot of respect for her because the house looked great on the inside and the outside, but the next door neighbor was a hoarder and there was all kinds of stuff outside. And she pointed that out to me, and that's something I wouldn't have known without physically being there. So I do think she does a great job, but we're able to buy these properties without ever going inside.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
great.
Which is pretty awesome. So let's walk through how it works. So she goes out there and looks at the property. Either I've found it on the MLS or she's found it. She gives me a tour, and if everything looks good, what would be the next thing we would do?
I think you pretty much make an offer.
Okay. Yeah. Right. You're right. Yeah. We'd make an offer and work that out. And, the offer, sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. But then the next thing would be the home inspection, mm-hmm. right? So we would have a home inspector look at it. And the way I look at the home inspection is there's really no value that I can add or that you can add being there. The home inspector is going to do his thing. He gives us a report that has all the pictures of any problems, a description of everything. So with that report and with the insight that I have of the property and that my realtor has, we can negotiate the home inspection without us having to see the property.
Right. They're really good in terms of documenting what issues might be there and writing up reports and having pictures and all of that. So I think that the value of being there is not as great as it used to be. If we were buying these places in locales that were closer to us, it might be worth it just to go. But for our life and where these properties are in relation to where we live, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, right. And so then after we get whatever fixes need to be done, usually after the home inspection, we've always been able to negotiate either a credit, a reduced price, or the seller taking care of whatever issues need to be taken care of. But after we get it fixed, we hand it off to our property manager. They go in there, they start the marketing process and get a tenant lined up. So really, like, there isn't anything for us to do at the property. So I've never been inside any of our rentals. So
and there's really only been one, and it's not the most recent one that we bought, but the one before that that's really needed any significant amount of work.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. Yeah, because most of the house, every house that we've bought has been ready to go, with the exception of one of the houses we recently bought. So talk about some of the work that we had to do to that property, because it wasn't major.
Yeah. It was a decent amount of money compared to the monthly rent,
right,
to get it ready to go. But the work itself, you know, it seemed to be like a variety of little things, like,
right,
like it needed to be painted. There was an issue with the chimney, but the chimney wasn't really was no longer connected to an actual fireplace.
It was leaning.
Like that. So we had to have that taken down.
Right.
There were some stairs to the back door that they were wood, but
They were kind of rotting.
We had to replace that. So there was like a variety of different things.
Yeah, there's like some electrical stuff we had to do, but it was all kind of minor stuff. And so we found some contractors, and actually finding contractors was more challenging than I thought it was going to be.
It was a lot tougher than you thought it was going to be.
Every contractor, I was referred to a couple different contractors, and I found a few others online, and they were all either booked or they didn't return my phone call, or they were going to be like, it was going to be 6 months before they could do the work. And I needed someone to start next week on the property. So luckily I ended up, another investor that I knew, had some contractors that was doing work on a property he owned, and I was able to get them to do the work on this house. And it was maybe a week for them to go in there. They got in there, they got everything done. So it wasn't a big deal. Everything worked out. We ended up getting a tenant. But that first tenant we had ended up not working out. So yeah, let's talk about this. Do you remember anything about the tenant?
Well, I'm kind of hazy on the details. I'm not really sure if we evicted the tenant or they just abandoned the property.
Yeah, we ended up having to do the eviction. So we got a tenant that he was an immigrant, but he had a really good salary. I think he made like five or six times the rent amount, but he didn't have any credit. He didn't have any rental history. And we gave him a chance. We went with him because his income was so good, and we took a double deposit. So that if the rent was $1,000 a month, we made him pay $2,000 a month. And I felt safe. I felt safe with that deposit there. And he was great for about 6 months. He paid the rent on time every month, and then something happened, and he wasn't responding. His phone was turned off. He didn't pay rent. We didn't hear from him. So our property manager started the eviction, and the whole process took about a month and a half. So we missed a month rent and then half of the next month.
Was he actually gone when they went over there to put the notice up?
Yeah. Well, no, he was there at first, but I think he was he was gone before the eviction date. Okay. So yeah, he didn't show up to the eviction and we got the property back. There was no real damage to the house. We just had to clean it up a little bit. We got it back on the market and we had a new tenant in like 3 or 4 days. Yeah. The guy wanted to move in right away and we actually were able to raise the rent, I think $150 a month.
Yeah, so that worked out.
Yeah, it really worked out. It really worked out. So when it was all said and done, we didn't really lose anything. So we had the 2 months of the deposit and yeah, so everything, I think that worked out great. And the new tenant is awesome. Always paid on time. No problems with him. He's been there now for 9 months. Mm-hmm. So that property has worked out great. So then, we bought another property that this was the easiest one I ever bought. This property was ready to go. I mean, there was nothing.
Well, and it didn't hurt. It's on the same street as another property that we
yeah, bought. Right, right. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. And
Dan likes to joke that we're going to be in charge of the HOA soon.
But yeah, it was just an easy property. I mean, like when we did the home inspection, literally nothing came up. And I've never seen anything like that before. Usually the home inspectors can always find something. But this house was pristine, totally ready to go. The old owners had taken good care of it. We got permission from the sellers or from the people we were buying the house from. Yeah, I guess the sellers. We got permission from them to show the property while we had it under contract. So we actually got a tenant lined up before closing.
Oh, that was great.
It was so awesome. So we closed on like a Thursday and the new tenant moved in Friday.
I think that's one thing that has worked in our favor. And part of it, I guess, is luck, but part of it is a result of your efforts is just making sure that we get these things turned around really quickly.
Yeah.
And not letting them sit because we're having trouble finding a contractor or, you know, just because we're not interested in making the phone calls to make it happen, but you do a really good job at turning those around really quickly.
Yeah. I don't want them sitting there. I mean, we got mortgage payments and, you know, I want to get them rented out as quickly as possible. So, so that's what we've been doing. We have another property under contract that we're closing on here in a few weeks, but yeah, that's about it. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what we've been doing.
Guess I'll see you at episode number 300.
Awesome. Well, if you are looking to buy a rental property, whether it's your first property or you want to add to your portfolio, it's really important to work with a lender that specializes in working with investors because getting an investment loan done is totally different than getting a mortgage done for a house you're going to live in. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's an investor herself, and she specializes in doing loans for other investors. She has a special offer just for our listeners. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she'll waive all of the pre-qualification fees, and she can get you started today. Just go to RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's RIDGE, LendingGroup.com. NMLS 42056. If you're like me, there's lots of great business and real estate books that you want to read, but it's just hard to find the time to actually sit down and finish a book. I know I've started probably hundreds of books that I've never actually finished because it just takes a lot of time. It's a huge time commitment to read or listen to a book. Well, luckily, Blinkist has solved this problem. What they do is they take a book and they summarize it and they put it into a format that you can easily consume in just 15 minutes. If you want to read, you can read a summary of the book and get all the key takeaways and the main concepts of the book. Or if you want to listen, you can hear an audio version of the main takeaways of a book. I absolutely love it. When I'm driving across town, most places I'm going are 15 minutes away. I can listen to a book on the way there. On the way back, I can listen to another book. It's really just an incredible app that has really been a game changer for me. A couple of the books that I've listened to just in the last week are The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. Really great book. And also Pitch Anything by Oren Claff. Another really, really great book. I think Blinkist is incredible. And right now they have a limited time offer just for our listeners. If you go to Blinkist.com/rental income, you can start a free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/rentalincome to start your 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/rentalincome. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I really appreciate your support. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.